A reading, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Thanks, Holly, for reading. And let me add my welcome to you all. I'm Ben, the pastor here. And yeah, we're going to be looking at that psalm. You'll find in your service sheets an outline for the talk so you can see where we're heading. 5 years ago, we preached a sermon series that we called Words on Worry. And today, the next 2 weeks, we're looking at three of those talks again. I'm guessing not many of you who were even here 5 years ago will remember. So hopefully it'll be fresh. So today, we're looking at anxiety. Next week, where to turn in the darkness, and then the week after, where we can find safety. And we're looking at three psalms, Psalm 27, Psalm 88, Psalm 23. So today, anxiety. In a talk from 2019, Johan Hari talks about the anxiety crisis in Western society, how people in Western society are suffering at depression and anxiety in increasing numbers year on year. And I'm sure it's only continued over the last 5 years. He says there are some cases. This is him talking at a TED talk. And he says in that talk, there are some cases where there are chemical imbalances and medication is required. But even when that's the case, other factors need to be explored as well. Things like loneliness, things like your physical health, the environment in which you live and work, but also, and more significantly, psychological needs. He talks about the need that we all have to belong, the need to feel that our life has meaning, the need to be seen and valued, the need to have a future that makes sense. I don't know what you're picking up in your kind of feed, what your algorithm is spitting out, but I'm hearing a number of people, more and more people, talking about how in Western society at the moment, there's something of a meaning crisis. And it's no surprise, is it, if that's the case, that there are record numbers of people experiencing anxiety. Hari finishes the talk by saying something really interesting. He says, when drugs are the only approach to treating anxiety, the message is that there's something wrong with you. We need to fix you. But he says, while there are cases when drugs are needed, anxiety is not a malfunction. It's not a sickness. It's a signal. It's telling you something. We feel this way for a reason, and we need to listen to the signals and find the liberating, nourishing solutions. And that's what we want to do today. And Psalm 27 is a psalm that's all about anxiety and fear and worry. It gives us ancient wisdom on this modern problem. It takes us, I think, to the root of anxiety and shows us what the signals are telling us. So we're going to look at the psalm under two headings, the root of anxiety and then the way out of anxiety. Firstly, the root. It always strikes me reading this psalm, and it's one of my favorites. David, the author, has such incredible stability, doesn't he? Such incredible security, freedom from anxiety. Just look again at verse 3 in your service sheets. He says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I'll be confident. So picture it. Here you go from the movie Braveheart. An army besieging you, chasing you down, anger on their faces. And David says, though that may happen, and we don't know if this was actually his experience, but he says, even if it was, my heart will not fear. He could have an army knocking on his door, and he says, even then, I won't be afraid. So here's David, just looking nonchalantly. He kind of faces the worst case scenario and says, I won't be afraid. You see a similar thing, I think, in verse 10. It's another worst case scenario where he says, though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. So David faces the worst case scenarios. An army besieging him, his parents, you know, the people closest to him, rejecting him, abandoning him. But he says, I will not be afraid. I will not be derailed. And you've got to ask, how? How on earth could David have that kind of security in his life? And I think the answer comes in verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. David is saying, this is my one thing. This is the one thing I'm seeking. This is my greatest desire, my top priority, to dwell in God's house, to know God, not just know about him, but know him, have an intimate relationship with him. You see the same thing, I think, expressed negatively in verse 9, where he says to the Lord, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. So if knowing God is David's greatest treasure, then losing God, losing God's favor, losing God's face, that's his greatest nightmare. So David has made God his one thing, his supreme treasure. And the key thing for us to realize is that verse 4 is the reason David can say verse 3. Verse 4 is the reason he can say verse 3. That the reason that he can face external pressures with such courage is because he has made God his one thing. This is the secret to a fearless life. To love and seek and desire the Lord God above all other things. Now, how does that work? Because it's not immediately obvious, that connection, is it? Let me try and explain. St. Augustine said many years ago, all our anxieties come because we've allowed good things to become ultimate things. We've made a finite, created thing the one thing that we think we need in order to be happy. He says, anxiety is always the result of a false god coming under threat or collapsing. So Augustine's talking here about idolatry. When we turn away from the true God and we give our heart to something or someone else and we seek our satisfaction and our significance in them. And Augustine's saying, whenever we do that, it's not only sinful, but we're also setting ourselves up for a life of anxiety because those other things can't deliver. Tim Lane says more recently in his book, Living Without Worry, the essence of worry is in attempting to find your ultimate hope, comfort, and meaning in something that is temporal and fleeting. It happens when you treat something in creation as a god, so you rely on it and seek blessing in it. When you do that, you've set yourself up for worry because nothing in creation lasts, and nothing in creation has everything under control, including you. This world lacks the stability you need in order to be worry-free. If you put your hope in things that are unstable, you will be unstable. So let's think about a couple of examples. Security. If the thing that you treasure most in life is security, you know, comfort, security in life. If you make security more important to you than God, and you try to control things to keep yourself and your family safe, you're going to be constantly full of anxiety, aren't you? Because you can't control things. And whenever there's any threat or danger, you're going to be filled with fear. Or think about approval. If having the good approval of other people is what you seek most, and you've made that more important to you than God, then you'll be overly concerned about what people think. You'll be constantly striving to win their good opinion, but you'll be never sure you've done enough. And even if you do gain others' approval, you will then be constantly fearing that you're going to do something or you're going to embarrass yourself and lose it. So this psalm suggests the root of anxiety is this thing that we do when we make something else more important than God. I think you see a similar thing in Matthew 6, which we were looking at earlier in the year. Jesus is teaching about what we treasure. He says, don't store up treasures on earth because moths can come in and destroy it, or thieves can come in and steal it, but instead store up treasures in heaven, which is secure. And immediately after talking about what we treasure and the fact that you can't serve two masters, he says, don't worry. There seems to be this connection between what we treasure and our experience of worry or anxiety. So Dick France says in his commentary on Matthew, worry is being over-concerned for something other than God's kingdom. And of course, in that passage, Matthew 6, the solution that Jesus gives is seek first God's kingdom. Rather than treasuring earthly things, treasure things in heaven. Rather than being worried and concerned about earthly things, be concerned for God's kingdom. Make God and his kingdom your top priority, and everything else will kind of find its right place. Now, when it talks here about over-concern, I think that's helpful because Jesus isn't telling us to not be concerned about things. You know, he's not advocating that we all just chill out and are super laid back, you know, no worry, be happy. He's telling us not to be over concerned. So maybe we can think about a spectrum. There you go. Where on one end of the spectrum, you've got laid back Larry, who's unconcerned about anything. And at the other end of the spectrum, you've got anxious Anita, who is overly concerned about everything. And in the middle, you've got godly Gail, who has an appropriate concern for things. Because, you know, when you're dealing with some difficulty in your life, some trial or crisis, it's not wrong to be concerned about it. It would be wrong to be totally laid back and apathetic. But you want your emotional response to be in proportion to the seriousness of the event. So godly concern that leads to dependent prayer and wise action, great. Think about another image. Imagine your life is a solar system. And all the things in your life are the planets. Making God your one thing, your greatest treasure, is like making God the sun at the center of the solar system of your life. And when you do that, and of course, that's where he belongs, everything else in life finds its right place. Everything else is in balance. But if you make something else the center, like if you take Jupiter and try and put that at the center of the universe, not universe, solar system, you know, it might be a very big planet, I don't know how big, but it's not big enough to carry the solar system. If you put something else other than God at the center of your life, it's not going to be able to carry things, and you're setting yourself up for disaster. Now, as we think about all this, I hope you can see there is a sense in which anxiety is a good thing. Like Johann Hari says in his TED Talk, anxiety is a signal, and we need to listen to it. We need to listen to what it says about what's most important to us. Anxiety is like the smoke, if you like, and we need to trace it back to see where the fire's coming from. When there's anxiety in our lives, maybe when we have kind of physical symptoms, shortness of breath, trouble sleeping, tight chest, whatever it may be, we need to trace that back. It's a signal. We need to listen to it. It's telling us there's something out of whack, out of balance in our hearts. Is there something under threat, something that we've made more important than God? And so I think we need to ask ourselves, don't we, what do I worry about? What are the things that play on my mind and keep me awake at night? And what does that reveal about the things I love, treasure, desire, put my hope in? It'd be great to do that today, this week. Try and diagnose your anxiety. Find out its root cause. But secondly, let's think about the way out of anxiety. And really, it's obvious, isn't it? If the root of anxiety is putting something other than God at the center of your life, well, the way out, the solution, is to put God back in his rightful place, to make God your one thing. So there's a sense in which the goal is not to worry less, but to rejoice more. Not to love other things less, but to love God more. Put him back at the center of the solar system of your life. How do you do that? I think the psalm gives us two ways: enjoying God and serving God. Enjoying God and serving God. The idea of enjoying God is found in the passionate language that David uses throughout the psalm. One thing do I ask of the Lord, that I may dwell in his house and gaze on his beauty. I wonder if that's a phrase that you would be comfortable using. Do you gaze on the beauty of the Lord? David's telling us that God is not just great and just and mighty and faithful. He's not just worthy of our trust and obedience. God is lovely and beautiful. He's worthy of our adoration and our delight. David goes on and says, I seek your face. Do not hide your face from me. I can cope with the loss of anything else, but I'm desperate for your face. Again, is that the cry of your heart? Are you desperate? Do you pant for the presence of God, for that intimacy with him? David's like a young lover, isn't he? All this talk of gazing on God's beauty, seeking God's face. And there's no output to that, is there? It's not a productive activity. It's kind of wasting time, isn't it? But is God honored by that treasuring of him, by that delighting in him, by that just wasting time with him? Yeah. You better believe it. So let me ask you again, do you gaze on the beauty of the Lord? Do you spend time just enjoying him, letting your heart feast on his excellencies, the perfection of his character, his majesty, just enjoying the goodness of God? I think actually, we all know how to do this. We do it with other things. We do it with the things that we most want. We do it the things that we treasure. You know, if you've got an amazing holiday coming up, you daydream about it, don't you? You read through the holiday brochures again and again. You scroll through the websites. You think about what it's going to be like. You imagine yourself on that beach with the sun warm on your back and the cool drink in your hands. You kind of taste in anticipation the enjoyment of it. We know how to do this, to gaze on something. We need to learn to do it with God, to fill our mind with thoughts of Him, who He is, what He's done, His character revealed in Scripture, to turn those things over in our minds, to chew on them. We need to turn the desires of our hearts onto God, to feed our imagination with the glorious hope that's set before us. Imagine ourselves in God's presence as He wipes away every tear and enfolds us in His love. Take time to simply sit in His presence, bask in the warmth of His love, gaze on the beauties of His grace. So if we're going to be people free from anxiety, we need to enjoy God, find our satisfaction in Him, because it's obvious, isn't it? If we're satisfied in God, we won't need to look elsewhere. We won't be anxious about other things that we don't have. But secondly, we need also to serve God. When David says in verse 4 he wants to seek the Lord, he's not just talking about seeking God's face, but seeking His will, seeking divine guidance. You see that more clearly in verse 11, where he prays, "Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path." To seek God is a commitment to the way of life that God commands. David wants to know God's will and submit to it, to find out what pleases the Lord so that he can live in service of Him. And so this is obviously going to require discipline and character formation and obedience. Not only enjoying God, but serving Him. And I found it really helpful thinking about these two aspects of relationship with God, enjoying and serving. I think you see it in other healthy relationships. Think about a good marriage. There's enjoyment and intimacy, time spent just being together, enjoying each other's company. But there's also service, isn't there? Finding out what pleases your spouse, taking time, making efforts in practical acts of love and care. And so it is with God. If your relationship with God is only service with no enjoyment, it's probably going to end up dry, dutiful, legalistic. But if your relationship with God's only enjoyment with no service, it's going to be a bit kind of frothy, unfruitful. And so it's worth asking ourselves, you know, what does my relationship with God look like? What's the balance between these two things? And I'm not saying we need to have a perfect balance, like for every hour spent enjoying God, we need to spend an hour serving Him. But is your relationship with God mostly about enjoying Him, gazing on His beauty with little attention to serving Him? Or is it mostly about service and obedience with little delights? Making God your one thing will involve both. And this, I think, is what it means to worship God, isn't it? Worship is about adoration and praise and treasuring of God, but also about obedience and service, giving our lives as a living sacrifice. So enjoying God, serving God, this kind of relationship with the Lord, this whole life worship of God is part of the secret to living a fearless life. So let's think again about those two examples earlier. So security, when God is at the center of your life, when your mind is filled with who He is, well, you'll be able to face threats and dangers without fear, because you know, like David says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. though dangers come and there's no guarantee of safety and security, you know that no harm can touch you without his sovereign say-so. You know that your life is held in the hands of the God who has proved his love and care for you. And you can say with the Apostle Paul, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Or think about approval. When you know God in this personal way, when you're walking in close fellowship with him, living in obedience to him, you can face disapproval from other people without anxiety because you know you already have the approval of the one person whose opinion matters. You're not defined by what others think of you. You're defined by what God thinks of you. And he says that you are loved and treasured beyond imagination. And so even if your mother and father reject you, you can be sure God will never leave you or forsake you. So if we want a fearless life, freedom from anxiety, we need to make verse 4 our prayer, don't we? We need to make God our one thing. We need that new orientation to God, to put him back at the center of our lives, to make seeking him and his kingdom our top priority. Now, that's not going to bring overnight change. The Bible doesn't give us quick fix solutions to our deep heart problems. The Bible talks about regeneration, being changed from the inside out. It takes time. But we can take a step in that direction. And so today, let's say to God, we want you to be our one thing. Work in us by your Spirit, so that might be a reality. And then, like David, we can be confident that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We can be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord as he answers our prayer.